populations focuses on honeybees. But here's this. Michigan is home to hundreds of native bee species, and they play an equally important role as pollinators. Bees are hard workers. My next guest tells us one in every three bites of food we eat is made possible by bees. Think about that. Kelsey Graham is a postdoctoral research associate in the Department of Entomology at Michigan State University, where she's a pollinator conservation specialist. Kelsey, good to have you with us.
Yeah, thanks.
That is pretty stunning when you think that statistic you cite, one in every three bites of food we eat, we can thank bees for that. Why is that?
Yeah, so if you think about it, pretty much every fruit and vegetable that we eat that has a flower needs to be pollinated by a bee. So think about blueberries, tomatoes, pretty much anything you have in your garden that has a flower is visited by a bee. And in order to produce a fruit, you need that transfer of pollen between flowers. So you need a bee to do that. And yeah, they're really well designed for it. That's why a lot of bees are really furry. Picks up the pollen and moves them between flowers.
And they also pollinate, alfalfa, which farm animals eat, so they're supporting the meat component of our diet as well.
Exactly, yep.
Well, we've heard certainly a lot of talk in recent years about the decline in the honeybee population. That's been all over the news. Why do you think we haven't heard more about native bees?
Yeah, so for honeybees, they're definitely sort of the most important part of our agricultural system just because we do manage them specifically for pollination services. So they're heavily managed. They're not native to North America, but we use them throughout the agricultural system here. So they're brought into fields specifically for these pollination services, and we really depend heavily on them for intensified agriculture. However, wild bees also play a role, but we don't manage them specifically for that role. So they're kind of along the side of fields and definitely enter and help out with the pollination services that honeybees also provide.
All right. And as I read your piece in the conversation, I couldn't believe when I see that there are some 5,000 native bee species in North America, and we have about 465 of them documented here in Michigan.
That's
wow.
Right. Yes, a lot of bees.
Yeah. Well, tell us a little about the native bees that we have in our state. I mean, what are they like and where do we find them?
Sure. So we have 465, so a large number, and they're really diverse. So we've got little tiny bees that are about, the size of a grain of rice or even smaller. And then we've got sort of the big bees like bumblebees and carpenter bees that people probably notice a lot more. Those are those big fuzzy bees you see in your garden. So those are really noticeable. And then often these tiny bees go completely unnoticed by people. So I always encourage you to kind of check out a flower in your garden, watch it for a little while, and you might see a tiny little bee visit, which is always fun.
So how are Michigan's native bees doing? How healthy are they?
So that's a big kind of question mark at this point, and that's really the focus of our current research is trying to better understand how the wild bees are doing just because there's so much of an unknown there. We know kind of a decent amount about the bumblebees. These are kind of a charismatic species that everyone seems to like, so they've got a lot of attention from the research world, and certainly there are definitely a lot of concerns there. But for the rest of the bees, we really know so little about them. We only have about 19 bumblebees in Michigan, and so the rest of them we kind of know very little about. So right now we're kind of going around the state and collecting all the wild bees that we can find and then comparing them back to historic populations, so looking through museum specimens to see kind of which bees we had 50 years ago and which ones we can't find today. So that'll kind of pinpoint which ones we need to be concerned about in terms of a population decline and also point out the ones that are doing completely fine.
Tell us, why is it that these wild bees, these native bees, are such efficient pollinators? What are they doing differently than honeybees?
Yeah, so one thing that wild bees can do that honeybees can't is this thing called buzz pollination. So this is where a bee will kind of grab onto a flower and shake it really fast, and this expels the pollen. So the pollen will kind of shoot out of the flower, land on the bee, and this is really good for releasing that pollen and getting it onto another flower. So this is something wild bees do that honeybees can't, and it makes them really good pollinators, and it's particularly good for things like blueberry that really need this kind of shaking action to release the pollen.
So they are good, hard little workers.
yeah, definitely.
And there is some concern about, as you write in your piece in the conversation, bumblebees are, some of them are in distress. What is driving the decline in their numbers?
Yeah, so as with most bees, it's kind of a combination of factors, most likely. Certainly, reduction in habitat is probably the one that we are the most focused on right now. Bees need flowers, and a lot of the kind of traditional areas where they would go and find a lot of food, like prairie areas, are being converted into row crops, so corn and soybean. So that's a loss of food for our wild bees, but also nesting habitat. So the majority of our native bees nest in the ground. And so if this is, you know, tilled or turned into a parking lot, that's an area that a bee can no longer make a nest in.
If someone wanted to support native bees, what can we do? Certainly, if you want to have honeybees in your yard, you invest in a hive, you buy some bees. But what do we do to support our native bees?
Yeah, so again, going back to the flower thing, bees need flowers. So if you can kind of put in flowers in your yard, or even, you know, if you live in an urban area, if you can just put out, you know, some pots with flowers, that's going to make a big difference for bees. There's a lot of lists online. I recommend people going to the MSU site, so that's pollinators.msu.edu. We'll have plant lists up there, as well as additional things that you can do, such as, you know, decreasing pesticide exposure. So, you know, you don't have to always spray your yards to get rid of all the bugs. It's, you know, bugs are good. So, you know, if you can limit your pesticide use, that's great. And certainly for farmers, that's something we work with them as well to do.
Kelsey, what drew you to entomology, and particularly to diving into our bee population? What do you like about it?
So bees are super diverse, and they all have kind of unique behaviors and life history traits. I'm classically more of an animal behaviorist, and I just got really attached to kind of all these unique behaviors that bees have. So it's a great system to work in, and definitely in terms of applicability now for conservation, it's a really important area, I think, to be in.
And do bees get a bad rap because of wasps?
They certainly do. And of course, you know, we need wasps too. They play a valuable role in our ecosystem, but they definitely give bees a bad name. Most of the time when people talk about being stung, it's usually from a wasp. Really only the bees that we think about in terms of stinging people most often are bumblebees and honeybees. So the rest of them, you know, the 400, you know, so species probably won't sting you. So, yeah.
And they're busy helping us increase the output of our gardens.
Exactly. If you see a bee on a flower, it's busy. It's not going to bother you. So definitely I encourage people to go watch it for a little bit, see what it's doing. It's totally safe.
Kelsey Graham, pollinator conservation specialist and a postdoc research associate at Michigan State University. Kelsey, thank you for sharing your love of bees with us.
Thank you.